you found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com. Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Thank you very much for listening to the How to Tour Italy radio show. And with us now, we have the wonderful, intelligent, and gracious Janice Mancuso. How are you?
Well, what a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be on.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very, very excited about learning about our next two wonderful contributors to American culture from the Italian side of the fence. So who are we talking about today?
Okay, well, actually, today we're going to talk about Father Pietro Bandini and a couple of, rather than two, I'm just going to go over a couple of the early Italian explorers because it kind of ties into Father Bandini's accomplishment, okay? He was a Jesuit priest, and he found Tonti Town, which is in Arkansas, and he named it after Enrico di Tonti. Before I get into that, I just want to let everybody know that they can find all this information on 31 Days of Italians. It's updated as much as I can. There's a lot of information I've got to get on there, so check it often. And all you need to do is just go to just do a search for 31 Days of Italians and close Google search, and it'll bring it right up.
Wonderful.
Father Bandini, he was born in Forli. I'm going to tie this into your touring, which is a southern part of Emilia-Romagna. It's about 20 miles southwest of Ravenna, and Ravenna is known for its has eight monuments that are UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Have you discussed any of those, the World Heritage Sites?
I have not, actually, and I maybe should do that on one of my upcoming shows because it is a wonderful topic.
Yeah, actually, and Italy has, they may have, I'm not sure, but I think they have the most of any country.
I am not surprised by that at all.
And the ones in Ravenna have, they're known for their exquisite mosaics from the 5th and 6th century.
Wow.
So you may want to, you know, something you can talk about in another show.
That'd be great.
Anyway, getting back to Father Bandini, like I said, he established Tonti Town, named after Enrico di Tonti, which actually, if you remember, I don't know if I remember when I was in school learning about Henry di Tonti, who sailed for France, but actually he was Italian. Mm. And I just want to briefly touch on all the Italian explorers who sailed for other countries because there was no Italy at the time. There was no country of Italy. And that's why Columbus sailed for Spain and John Cabot, we've all heard of him. He's Giovanni Caboto, and he sailed for England. And then, of course, Amerigo Vespucci, which America is named after.
Right.
He sailed for Spain and Portugal. And then Giovanni de Verrazzano, he sailed for France. And then, of course, Henry di Tonti, who sailed also for France. So I just want to briefly touch on just a couple of their accomplishments. Of course, Columbus and all the controversy today about what's going on, with still going on. I mean, it gets more and more as each year goes by. And there's a lot of things. One of the main reasons why there's so much controversy about him, and I think this is important because we kind of touched on this last week as far as the education, learning about Italian, you know, Italians and Italian-Americans, what they've accomplished, what they've done for America. And the controversy surrounding Columbus is really important because a lot of it stems from what's being taught in school. And as you mentioned last week, I'm working on an educational program, Italian-American History, hoping to get that tied into the American history curriculum. And a lot of what's being taught about Columbus is based on misinformation and opinion.
Sure.
And that's part of the problem as to what's going on today. There's been a lot of universities, a lot of towns that don't even acknowledge Columbus Day. And it's something that really needs to be addressed. It's something that's important. And people who are listening to this and who, you know, really care about Italian heritage and Columbus and all of that really need to do something about that and focus on what's being taught in the schools.
I agree, and I think that you are definitely off to a wonderful start to do that with 31 Days of Italians and the curriculums that you're putting together, kind of helping the educational system here in the United States kind of embrace you know, Italian-American cultures and history, but doing it the right way. And I think in bringing to light some of the wonderful contributions and a lot of the great things that the Italians have contributed to America. So, and I think Columbus, as you say, unfortunately, is misunderstood and misrepresented. So I'm always curious to learn, you know, more about him and more about how to best appreciate him.
Yes, yeah. one of the things that happened with 31 Days of Italians, when that was originally established, was to let people know about Italian American Heritage Month in October. Because, you know, I lived in New York, I live in North Carolina now, and there's really nothing Italian here. And I was like, what's going on? You know, so getting another perspective. If you're in a community that's Italian, you know, a lot of Italians, Italian Americans, then you really have no idea what's happening in the rest of the United States. So the purpose of 31 Days of Italians was to do that, was to let the whole United States know about all the accomplishments. And it has turned into kind of, one of my friends calls it a portal for Italian American history, and I love that terminology because it actually is where people can go there and learn about all the accomplishments of Italian Americans that have greatly contributed. There's so many, and I have to kind of keep it under control, you know, but these are like the major ones that have greatly contributed to America. And another thing about that too is I take recommendations, and there's a vote coming up, and there's a lot of things that happen, so it's kind of neat to go on. You can spend pretty much the whole day. You could spend a week, actually, if you go into each one and do all the, you know, the resources and everything. But just quickly getting back to Columbus, one of the problems with that, and in my research I found this out, was a lot of the things that the children are learning are based on fictional accounts, textbooks that are used in the school that are not even based on history. And that's another thing that's really something that needs to be addressed. Just like I said, opinion and fictional accounts, dramatizations of from another point of view of what happened, with children actually learning this, and then, you know, this has been going on for about 15, maybe 20 years, and now what's happening is that people are revolting against Columbus,
right?
Saying, you know, all these things about him because I read a book. They'll say I read a book and he did all this. But, you know,
right?
One book is not going to, you know, make it. You know, you need to really know a little bit more before you make a decision as to what's going on. So the thing, once again, it gets back to education. And
sure.
The only way today to really get to children is to educate them through the school system. Because a lot of parents, a lot of, you know, they just don't know about the history.
No, I agree. And it's unfortunate because they're, you know, not just about Columbus. I mean, I think about all history and about all figures of history and all, you know, anything that's happening politically and anything else. Best to be educated before you form an opinion. I know that a lot of us, unfortunately, form opinions without knowing all the facts. And sometimes it's hard to get your arms around all the facts because we have busy lives and we work and we, you know, we have different things pulling at us and things we're obligated to do. But, you know, before you, I guess, form an opinion and are aggressively against something or for something, maybe best to understand a little bit about it so that you can at least defend yourself in a discussion.
Yes, exactly.
So, but, you know, that's, I have to say, unfortunately, I fall prey to some of that sometimes too. And I know, and I can't believe I'm going to actually say this, but an episode of The Sopranos brought to light a lot of the pain that Italian Americans, I think, feel in about what the rest of the world at large feels about Columbus. And I think they did a good job of illustrating that. Right. I think they went a bit over the top, but unfortunately, that's probably pretty on point.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, too, is that, of course, you know, the Native Americans who doing a lot of these protests, but they don't understand that when the Italians came over, they were peacemakers with the Native Americans. They started ministries. They helped the Native Americans in so many ways. So it's so interesting that the Italians, the Jesuit priests, the explorers, they helped, and this is kind of like, this is what's happening. It's because they don't understand, they don't know, they're hearing information, things that are not true, and they're basing their decisions on this.
Right.
So they really need to understand what's going on. And Henry De Conti, he was one of those. In fact, he sailed with LaSalle down the Mississippi, and he established friendly relationships with the American Indian tribes. This is back in the late 1670s, and he's known as the father of Arkansas. Now, who would think that an Italian explorer would be known as the father of Arkansas? Because he established the first settlement in Arkansas.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because of this is when Franta Bandini, and he was a Jesuit priest, like I said, and he heard about a group of Italians who were having a very difficult time acclimating themselves to an area in southern Arkansas. So he helped them, and he in his travels he had found an area in the Ozarks, the Ozark Plateau, that was very similar to where this group of Italian immigrants had come from. They had come from Genoa. So he brought them up to that area, and they started to cultivate the land. They started growing apples and grapes. He named the town Tontiville after Enrico De Tonti, and it was the first settlement in Arkansas, and was Detente established the first settlement in Arkansas. He named him after that. And the immigrants started growing apples, like I said, and grapes. The apples didn't do too well, but the grapes did, and they had their first harvest in August, which they called Thanksgiving. Was a celebration of thanks because they had the harvest. And from there, they found that the grapes did a lot better and started growing the Concord grape and other really hardy varieties of grapes. And they started a celebration in 1908 that's ever since then has been an annual grape festival. It's still celebrated today.
That's fantastic. And Janice, it's always wonderful to have you on the show and talking about 31 Days of Italians and those great contributions. But I'm running a little bit out of time, so I do apologize. I've got to get to my next guest and friend, Kathy McCabe of Dream of Italy. So with that, I'm going to ask that you join us next week, and we'll talk about some other wonderful contributions to American culture, if you don't mind.
Okay. I just wanted to make a point that the grapes that the Italian immigrants grown were sold to Welsh's. Welsh's came in and built a plant to make the juice there, and they actually for those years up until actually 1992, when the plant was sold, the grapes there from Italian immigrants were sold to Welch's for their grape juice.
That's fantastic. That's actually cool to know. Wonderful.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Janice. Have a great day.
You too.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye now.
Bye bye. And with that, we are going to welcome Miss Kathy McCabe, my friend of Dream of Italy. Welcome, Kathy.
Hey there.
How are you? I'm sorry, a little malfunction on my part. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
How's it going?
Going just fine, thank you.
Wonderful. And I'm excited to learn a little bit about kind of taking classes in Italy. I know that your recent newsletter kind of talks about that, art classes and different classes in the Dream of Italy newsletter. So let's talk a little bit about that. What would you like to share?
Well, let's see. In the April issue, we actually have done a whole series on arts and crafts type classes that you can take either for a couple of hours or for a week or even a couple of weeks in Italy. And I think that this is a really great way to have sort of an authentic experience and also do something that most people don't do. Like in Venice, you can take a mask making class for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. In Gerudo in Umbria, which is sort of one of the ceramics capitals, you can either take a class where you paint the ceramics or you actually sort of craft and fire the pottery yourself. And some unusual ones, there's we wrote about a jewelry making class in Cortona and embroidery class in Perugia. And then there's also like mosaic classes in Venice. There's sort of something for everybody. And I think it's a really great way to enhance your vacation.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know I've taken two different kinds of classes. Foreign language classes, which I thought were an absolute blast and really gave me the opportunity to not only learn the language better, but to meet lots of great people in my class and all of the wonderful teachers and professors that are local that will show you the ins and outs of the town and the region. And then cooking class is another big one. The International Kitchen is a good opportunity to do that and dive in and kind of roll up your sleeves and learn some wonderful cooking techniques. So I agree with you 100%. It's a great way to spend a vacation.
Yeah, cooking classes are really the big thing in Italy. And there's, again, you can do the same thing. You could go for a couple of hours or you could go for a week. If you go to dreamofitaly.com, and we've just sort of reorganized all of our articles, we now have them in categories. You click on cooking schools, there's a whole list of all the schools that we profiled, and there's a couple free articles. One is on taking, which I've done twice actually, a chocolate making class at Perugina in Umbria. They're the ones that make the bocce candies.
Sure.
And they actually have a school at their factory. And I actually, the most recent time I went was in the fall. And that is really, really fun. And you just eat tons of chocolate. So it can't be bad.
Exactly. That's a wonderful way to go, I think. And there's, like you said, there is something for anyone in every region of Italy. So I think expand your horizons and take a look at, Dream of Italy website and the newsletter and take a look and see what's out there for you. Because I agree. I think there's so many wonderful things. And people always generally think about a cooking class or a foreign language class. And those are the two examples I gave. But I think your advice is great. You know, chocolate making, the mask making in Venice has got to be a blast. I can't even imagine how much fun that would be.
And you learn a little bit of the culture of the place, where you are. So it really... it really adds a lot to vacation. So hopefully people will think about doing that, you know, as well as seeing the sites and museums and things like that.
Well, it's exactly true. And I think the other part of it, too, I mean, keep in mind, you're being taught by artisans that live in Italy that have done this for a lifetime. And they're very passionate about what they do. They're excellent at what they do. They're master craftsmen, if you will, whether they be chefs, chocolate makers, mask makers, what have you, cobblers for shoes. I mean, you could take classes, I know, at Ferragamo even, to learn a little bit about shoemaking. So there's...
That's so cool. I would love that.
Yeah, there's something for everybody. So and you're going to be learning from the hands of these masters who live and breathe this passionately and are so thrilled when you take the time and effort to sign up and learn something from them. It will enhance your vacation like no other. When I did it in Siena for Italian language at the Dante Alighieri School, the experience I had with the people that I've met, I was there for the polio during the time, and they showed me so many like ins and outs of things I would have missed or overlooked about the polio had I not been there with a local that were that set a whole new level for me. I mean, it was wonderful. So those are the things I think, you know, using your expertise at Dream of Italy and some other travel planners, you know, visit me on my website at How to Tour Italy, and a lot of this stuff is going to be delivered to you to learn a little bit more about how to get the most out of your vacations.
Right, and I've taken a short Italian class in Italy, but I'm thinking maybe at the end of the summer or in the fall, I'd really like to go for a week or two, so I'll have to get some of your advice.
Please, I would love it, and you know, we can meet up and spill a glass of wine or two, that'd be great.
Awesome.
That's awesome. So you said your most recent newsletter just came out.
It's coming out this weekend. We actually come out around the middle of the month, and so the articles and the issue will be posted early next week.
Great.
And again, your readers do get, if you subscribe to the newsletter, put in How to Tour Italy, and you'll get a free Venice ebook in addition to the free Rome ebook we're offering.
That is fantastic. And everyone, please do so. The Dream of Italy newsletter is wonderful. It's very well written, very well organized. And I have to say that Kathy and the Dream of Italy team cover sites so very well and show you a lot of hidden Italy, if you will, for lack of a better term. In fact, I just ran across an article that you'd written. I think it was in 2002 about a cooking school. So, and I believe the name of it, the cooking school, was Tuscan Women Cook.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It was a great article, I have to tell you. And I stumbled across it just Googling around, and it was wonderful. So with that, I want to thank you once again, Kathy, for being a part of the show. It's always great to have you on. And I'm looking forward to having you on next week.
Okay, thanks so much.
Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And everyone, thank you so much for listening to the How to Tour Italy radio show. And don't forget to visit howtotouritaly.com. Ciao, ci vediamo.